You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Ko Tawhito, tēnei waiata, ko Mokotron, te kaiwaiata. Kia ora, Mokotron, kei te pihi a koe, how are you?
Kei te paira wātu, e hoa, tēnā koe.
Oh, kia ora, welcome and thanks for chatting to us this morning about Tawhito, which is also the name of your new EP. How are you feeling about having this in the world?
I'm pretty excited. I guess it's been sitting in my head for a long time, trying to produce music that actually sounds like it comes from here, you know,
yep.
And specifically from these streets and these neighborhoods in central Auckland.
Mm.
I guess it's something I've always wanted to do but never really had the guts, so it feels good to have these tracks out there and representing what it's like for me and people like me who are urban Māori in the city. Yeah,
I like how you've described it over on Bandcamp. Dark, problematic, trauma-driven, Māori electro bass straight out of Tamaki Makaurau. That's resonating with a lot of people, I think. How does it feel to see people's responses to this, Mokotron? Because it really has made some massive waves locally, but also I'm seeing international picking up on this a wee bit too.
Yeah, I think for me I'm more excited about the local stuff. I always knew it would take off internationally and have been picked up by a bunch of different labels overseas. Certainly the initial response was from Germany and Canada and the US and the UK. So for me it's really exciting this time to actually get some attention locally as well, you know?
Yeah, so, totally.
So yeah, yeah.
Who are you making this for? It feels like you're making it for yourself in a big way, but who do you make your music for?
I think really what I'm trying to do is just express what it means to be urban Māori on these streets, you know, like right here. Like I want to create music that could only come from Kay Road, that couldn't come from Nelson or Christchurch or Wellington. I think, you know, I've spent my whole life here. He uri tēnei no Ngāpuhi, engari I tuku ake au ki te whenua nei a Tāmaki, here here in Ngā Waka. So I've always lived here, and I just want to create music and I guess graphics and a vision that expresses what it's like for us living here in the city as Māori and just living on all these marae here in the city, whether it's Waipapa, Tūtahi Tonu, you know, all the Ōrākei, all these different marae here in the city, and what it's like to grow up here and be part of an urban existence but also be Māori and to learn our language and our culture and all that kind of stuff. That's really what I'm trying to get across, is what it's like to be urban Māori.
For sure. I think the one thing that I've seen people lamenting online is that we can't hear this really in Kay Road at the moment. Like, we will soon when we can get back there, but those spaces are not necessarily, you know, as accessible while we're going through Omicron. But there is something amazing about listening to this and that being so embedded in the sound. Like, it does sound like those, you know, fantastic basements, those spaces that are so particular to that location and to that narrative as well. I wanted to ask you a wee bit about the like sonic process of making this, because you've got some really interesting different sounds that you're drawing on here. The Taonga Puoro in this is really beautiful. You've also got, I think, some vintage synths going on. What were you actually working with when you were making these tracks?
Half of it is Puoro, you know, just our musical instruments. I carve a lot of them, but to be honest, I find the best ones are just shells and just what you call it, pith wood. You know, so much of our the world of Puoro has been entirely defined by Pākehā men.
Mm.
So I think part of Puoro is actually for Māori to reclaim these taonga. And a lot of our taonga weren't finely carved. They were made on the spot, particularly weapons for war. And I think this is, you know, part of what we're doing is a war. It's a war for our voices and our culture. So, to be honest, I carve a lot of these puoro. I give most of them away. I like the most rudimentary ones.
Yeah.
So I use those in my waiata. When I'm playing them, I'm trying to represent what it means to stand on urban marae. So if you listen, I always pan my puoro. What they represent for me are the women who run all our marae and tamaki here, who run all our kaupapa here in the city, who keep us alive in the city. So if you listen, they're always panned left and right. I'm representing the kriya and the aunties and the whaia who are always standing beside us and, you know, giving us the space to speak as tāne and as uri of the city. So that's kind of what I'm trying to represent, really, when these songs aren't just music. Like, I'm really trying to represent what it means to be on these marae here, you know? Tātai hono up on Kaiba Pass, or Tētahi tonu over in Epsom, or Te Unga Waka down in Epsom as well, or Waipapa here in Central. That's what I'm trying to represent, you know?
Yeah.
Aside from that, I think it's been beautifully timed in the last year and a half when I've been running this project. A company called Behringer has just re-released all the classic analog vintage gear for really cheap prices.
True.
So gear that once cost like $5,000 costs $400 now. So, if it's not puoro, very rudimentary puoro, then I'm using all these analog instruments that have just been re-released over the last year or so.
What's the process of making like for you? Because I know everybody's got a different experience of the actual creation. For some people, it's just getting to the product that is what you're making. For others, it's a really joyful process or a meditative process. What's it feel like for you actually making tracks?
There's a real division there, to be honest. If I'm writing a reo Māori tune with puoro, I will write that completely separately from the drum and the bass.
Yeah.
So I'll write the whole song with the lyrics, with the puoro, with all of that done, and then I'll write the drum and the bass separately. So it's quite a different process, but I'm trying to show what it means to be Māori in the city. To me, the bass represents the concrete, the drums represent the buildings, and that's the urban space. And so I'm saying, hey, there are times when we are living our culture to the fullest here in the city, and there are times where we're caught up in the stream of what's happening in the city. And they sit side by side, and sometimes they clash, and sometimes that clash is good, and sometimes they don't sit together. But certainly, there are times in our lives here in the city where the city disappears and this becomes Māori land again, whether it's Matatini, Polyfest, Pacifica, whether it's Manikōrero or any other, or Matariki, all of these Māori events, when our community comes together, for me, the city melts away and we're just Māori on Māori land. So really, the kaupapa is bigger than the music in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
It's more for me about trying to show you what does it look like to be urban Māori in the city, you know? Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. I wonder if you, when you're listening to music from other folks making at the moment, do you feel like you're hearing that from anybody else right now? Is there any music that you're listening to that's really resonating on that kind of a level, or are you still looking for that in the kind of stuff that we're hearing locally?
I think that there was a peak of it in about 2010, 2011, when Tiki Tāne finally, you know, was finally a Māori musician making music that actually sounded like Māori music. Te Kupu actually, from Apaha Posse, did an album at that time. Not a lot of people heard it, but he did all this Māori dubstep at the time, and to me that was it felt like that was the start of something, and people haven't followed it up. So, I've been waiting for this all my life, to hear music that sounds like it's made by Māori and Pacifica here in the city. But I think really just in the last year, we've seen the emergence of more and more young rangatahi, predominantly wahine, who are just coming to the fore, reclaiming kōrō and making music that extends beyond pop music. My favourite is Te Kahu Rere Mua. She's an amazing kōrō artist and artist and singer, but there are heaps more. There's this kind of groundswell of young wahine who are just making amazing music, waiata and kōrō. So I find them really exciting. There's always been pop and hip hop and reggae, but I don't know. I want to hear stuff in Aotearoa. I want to hear our kōrō. I want our pre-European styles, whether it's karakia, pātere, mōtiatia, like that's why I'm sort of saying, can we imagine a world without colonization? Can we go straight from the ancestors to modernity? Can we take pre-European taonga and bring them right up to date into the present and the future? So what I'm trying to do. There are artists that really inspire me, predominantly our wahine.
I really like what you said when you released this Indigenous Bass Revolution Imminent, which is also a track on the EP as well. It feels like a declaration, but also kind of a call to action as well. Like that feels to me like you're saying, I'm doing this thing over here, and I'd like to see more people also doing this thing over here. Is that maybe a fair thing to read into that?
That's kind of the whole point. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to challenge people. I've challenged myself, and now I'm challenging everyone else. We've spent our whole lives as people in the city emulating every other form of music, hip-hop, jungle, techno, house music, everything. We follow every damn trend. Right now we're going through UK garage for the second or third time. Like, when are we ever going to stop and figure out where we are and realise the only thing that's unique to this land is Māori and Pacific music? And as soon as we do that, we will be able to contribute something to the world of music, because up until now, we've largely just, just misappropriated and misused other people's music without really contributing anything. So for me, that's the challenge to people, is particularly to our DJs and our producers and singers, is can we just be us? Can we get over the colonial hangover and start believing in ourselves? I'm seeing that, there's this kind of real militant underground of Māori and Pacific DJs in the city right now who are, they're kind of on that buzz, people like Lady Shaka, people like Babyface Killer, people like Dylan Biscuit. There's a whole heap of them who are kind of pushing in that direction. So yeah, it is a challenge, very much. It's a challenge to all of us to start living on this land. And it's timely with the debates we're having right now around misappropriation of hip-hop and anti-blackness. It's like, yeah, man, it is anti-blackness, but it's also, it's like that kind of, that colonial, you don't believe in yourself? Like, culture only comes from overseas. I just don't buy it anymore. And I think, and that's for our Pacific people. You got to understand, when Tamate Kapua came here from Hawaii, from Rarotonga, from Tahiti, 1,000 years ago, he brought a Māori stone here, and it came. Well, it was brought from other Pacific islands, from Tahiti, and he planted it in the harbour here. That's why it's called Waitemata, to remember the mata, the stone he brought from Hawaii, and it was a Māori that is it. It bound the spiritual power of our ancestors from the Pacific to us here on this land, so that we would be protected and so we would be thrive, that we would thrive on this land. So for me, I consider this has always been a Māori and Pacific whenua, and there are spiritual powers in the land planted from Hawaii 1,000 years ago that are there to protect us, but to also allow us to flourish. And so that's what I'm thinking of, how do we let that happen? How do we get out of the colonial nightmare of always copying whatever's coming from overseas and start looking at ourselves?
Kia ora, thank you so much for your kōrero this morning, Mokotron. We're going to listen to He Rere Te Ara. What can you tell us about this track?
This is my first and possibly last attempt at a mōtiatia. this was a very sad story. Two newborn babies passed away of a family member and a friend, and it was really heartbreaking. And I really struggled with it and realised I needed to talk about it. That tikanga says that as tāne, as men, we actually have to express our emotions very openly and very publicly. So this was me just talking about how it feels, how those losses feel to me, and trying to say it to everyone, you know, this is how I'm feeling, perhaps this is how others are feeling. Mm. This song makes reference to a lot of place names around, traditional place names around Auckland. So again, the song is about what is it like for all of us living here in Tamaki Makaurau.
Kia ora. Thank you so much, Mokotron. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you this morning. Congrats on this incredible EP and on this incredible challenge that you've set for the rest of the community as well. Ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi. Tēnā koe te tūhine.
Kia ora.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.